All right, Brett Boone will join us here in just a moment. We're looking forward to catching up with him. And he was a great second baseman. His brother, Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees. The Yankees were active last night going after Joey Gallo. And belief was the Jays were, you know, sniffing around a little bit on Gallo. And obviously they decided not to pull the trigger on that. But they've acquired Brad Hand today for Riley Adams. And Hand is a left-handed reliever. He's coming in. Decent stats. You know, not out of this world. Not certainly not a Kimbrel-esque acquisition for your bullpen, but better than what they currently have. Though I'm not sure that's saying much, really, with the Jays in their bullpen. But back in action for the fourth game of the series at Fenway tonight, and then they come home tomorrow night. Actually home in Toronto tomorrow night, which should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'm assuming all the tickets are sold. You know, like I was trying to find some information on that today. Like, I'd be shocked if there weren't tickets that have been sold at least through the weekend, if not beyond that. But we'll find out, I guess, as of tomorrow night. So here he is, former MLB-er. He's got a podcast out, the Boone Podcast. He was in the majors for a long time. Great to have him on. Here's Brett Boone. How you doing, Brett?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. We love, you know, this time of year because there's a lot of activity going on in all sports, the NHL, the NBA, and certainly in baseball. A lot of trades taking place. The Jays picking up Brad Hand. Joey Gallo going to the Rangers. It sounds like Scherzer's going to the Padres. Can you remember these days as a player, as a content creator? Personally, I love it. What about as a player? Was it a little bit more uneasy, I'm thinking?
Well, it depends. You know, some years I was really disappointed this time of year because, you know, I was on a good ball club and I knew we needed one piece. And, you know, there's only all you can do as a player is do your job every night and you rely on management to take care of the piece you needed. Some years we got it done, some years we didn't. But as a fan now and someone that just has an interest on what's going to happen here down the stretch, it's a pretty interesting time. These next 24 hours would be kind of crazy. You're seeing that it start to get going. You know, it's interesting to me. Scherzer pitching today. He pitched the first leg of the doubleheader, dominated the Phillies. I think that was kind of to show everybody, hey, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go, because there's right. been some questions about that recently. Sounds like he wants to go to the West Coast, you know? And for me, that National League West is a class of baseball right now. Giants have been kind of a surprise this year, and the Dodgers and Padres, we knew about them. But that division's loaded. I think you're going to see both wild cards in the National League come from that division, along with the division winner. So three out of the five, I think, that start in the postseason and come for that division. It seems like Scherzer wants to go there. You know, you hear Padres, who knows? Tomorrow afternoon, you might say, wow, when he went to the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
It's going to be whoever gets him. I was just talking to my dad about it. I said, whoever gets him, in my book, that World Series percentage goes up. So that's definitely the class of the trade deadline is Max Scherzer, the biggest difference maker. But there's a lot of guys out there right now that might have a different uniform on in 24 hours.
I want to get back to your earlier comments about when you'd be upset because you knew you were one player away and it didn't happen. So would you take that personally as a player? Like, would you hold bitterness against the GM? Would you be willing to talk to him the next day? Or were you just like, I can't even look at you right now? You knew you had to go get this guy and you didn't make it work.
Well, I felt that way, definitely. But I think as Major League Baseball players, there's a certain level you need to hold yourself to. And it bothers me a little bit when I see the players outspoken. Today, it's a different era, you know, with the social media and the Twitter and the Instagram. As players, we're paid. We sign a contract to play the game. They're paid to do their job, which acquire players when we need to get it. We're always going to have different opinions. There always can be a debate. Of course, I was upset some years. Like, how could you not go get what we needed? You know that one piece puts us over the edge. But as a player, I have a job to do, and those things are out of my control. So when I see players, you know, come in public, yeah, you can say, oh, it's disappointing. But when I see the attacks on management and the back and forth, it does nobody any good. You got 25 guys in that room. Well, now 26 in the modern day game. But you have a job to do, and that's go to battle each and every night with your teammates, and it's always welcome when you get a big piece of the deadline. But it's something that's out of our control as players.
Well, so Brett, what did you make of the situation with your old team where they're starting to win? and then they trade Kendall Graveman, and the team, I guess, didn't love it? Like, are you okay with that sentiment from them?
Well, of course you can be disappointed. I saw Gonzalez. He's sporting a 5.5 ERA, and he's got a lot of big opinions. You might want to get that ERA down before you really are outspoken. You know, that kind of bothers me, stuff like that. You know, of course I had feelings like that. Of course we all have feelings, disappointment, but I think you remain a certain level of professionalism. You keep that stuff in-house. If you've got a problem with your general manager, have a talk, but keep that in-house. That's how you start splintering off in an organization, and you got people going in different directions when the goal is to go in one direction. My assessment of that, yeah, because I keep an eye on the Seattle Mariners. You know, that's my home. That's where my biggest years were. So I always have one eye open, checking out, see how the Mariners were doing. I think they're exceeding expectations with the ball club they had this year. There's definitely some positives. They haven't been in the postseason in 20 years. I think that's the longest standing major sports franchise. So they're right there. I mean, Seattle, I think they're two out of the wild card right now. What it tells me is Jerry DePoto is looking at that team on a day-in, day-out basis, and is in his heart of hearts, he doesn't believe they have what it takes to get to the postseason, and if so, to go deep in the postseason. That's my read from that move. Graveman, from what I'm hearing, was a real popular player in that clubhouse. And to add a little insult to injury, not only did they trade him, but they traded him to the Houston Astros, who are atop that division and have been a thorn in Seattle's side for years. So as a player right now, yeah, that's a little tough to swallow for me. The city of Seattle, the fans of Seattle, we're just starting to get excited again. That's a tough move, but business is business. And if that's how Jerry feels, who knows? You know, it might be the right decision. It might not. I think that's a real tough position to be in, Seattle management right now. As a general manager, you don't think this is the year, yet you have this out, you know, all these outwardly pressures. And once again, it refers all the way back to that 20 years in a row you have not been in the postseason. I thought he was going to be a little bit more of the side of let's go for it this year.
We're chatting with Brett Boone, longtime MLB-er. Check out the podcast, the Boone Podcast. While the Yankees and the Jays are in somewhat of a similar position as the Mariners. I mean, they're on the outside of the playoffs looking in. I think the division is likely gone for both teams. The Yankees are a few games out of a wild card spot. The Jays are 4.5 out, yet their GMs are deciding to go at it. You know, like the Yankees go out there and pick up Joey Gallo, who does have some term. They've got some control, team control on that contract, so it's not just going to be about the final stretch run here. Jays have picked up some arms in the bullpen, including Brad Hand earlier today. How do you feel about those two messages in particular, the Yankees and the Jays, where the front offices in both cities are saying we're not giving up on this season?
Well, the Blue Jays, for me, are an interesting group. What a bunch of young, talented kids. And finally, by the way, congratulations, you guys get to finally start playing in a big league stadium. What a talented group, this Blue Jay team. I don't think the Blue Jays have, especially with all the teams they'd have to kind of jump over to get that wild card spot. I don't know if this is their particular year, and I don't think it's really that realistic. I like the Hand acquisition. I think that really bolsters the bullpen. I think he's coming in with about a 3.5 ERA. Low salary he's making, so that's good for the Jays. I don't know if this is the particular year. There's too much to overcome, but I really like the Blue Jays moving forward, and I think they got a real bright future. I mean, that's pretty obvious to say with these, you know, with Vlad Jr. and Bichette and the pickup from Semien. What a pickup from Oakland.
Right,
so I think your future is real bright there. Moving over to the Yankees, and as you know, it's a different animal where you're the New York Yankees. There's no accepting a rebuilding year or not going for it every year. I think the Yankees, you know, a lot of things had to go wrong for them to be in this position right now. You got Severino and Kluber coming back, who knows, in the next month to 6 weeks. That's imperative that they have that. You always have Gerrit Cole at the top of the rotation, you know, one of the best in the business. They got hit with the COVID thing. They were missing Judge and a couple of their relievers out of the bullpen. Urshela was down a little bit. Adding Gallo, you know, it adds that big bat. And for a dominantly right-handed lineup, he's going to fit well in the middle. Downside of that, he strikes out a lot. And that, you know, you put Stanton, Gallo, Odor, Sanchez, that's a lot of punch outs in the middle of the lineup. Right. I think it's a minor upgrade. I think they need another player. Marte went to the Oakland A's. I thought the Yankees were going to be on him since Aaron Hicks went down. They really need to fill that void in center field. Gardner's doing a good job, but he's 37 years old. He's supposed to be the fourth and fifth outfielder. He's playing every day. Yankees, they're going to be interesting. Severino's a key. Voigt's missed a lot of time. He's coming back. LeMahieu's starting to swing it. Judge, Yankees are never out of it, but it's going to be a tough road to home.
Well, Brett, you mentioned like the NL West is kind of what you think is maybe the class of the National League. Who's like your team to beat in the American League? Is it Boston? Is it Chicago? Is it someone else? Tampa?
I'm not sold on Boston's pitching. I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's the White Sox. I think Keuchel and Giolito were the headliners going into the season. They pitched well. They're starting to pitch better now. But the real heroes of the first half of the White Sox has been Rodon and Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn's having a Cy Young caliber year, and he's been anchoring that rotation. Giolito's starting to pitch better, and Keuchel is a consummate pro. They've had a lot of injuries over there. Madrigal, their rookie second baseman, doing a great job. He's out. They went out and got Hernandez now to fill the void at second base from Cleveland. But the key is Jimenez is coming back, and their center fielder, Robert's, going to be back for the second half. And you've got the perennial MVPs in Anderson at short, and I'm trying to think, help me out, first baseman, Abreu. So I think that's the best team for me. Houston's close, but for me right now, I look up and down. Pitching to offense, I say the White Sox are the class in the American League right now as we speak, but who knows in 24 hours.
Well, that's it, right? There's going to be a lot of movement here in the next 24 hours for sure, and then a lot of ball games still to be played. Check out the Boone podcast. He is longtime MLBer Brett Boone. You can find him on Twitter at TheBoone29 as well. It's always great to have you on, man. It's been awesome. We'll have to do it again down the road, and enjoy the rest of the season.
You guys, thank you, guys. You got it.
You got it. There he is, Brett Boone. Aaron Boone's older brother. Aaron Boone, of course, the manager down in New York, which that wasn't like a glowing appraisal of the Gallo acquisition. You know, it's an upgrade, but he's like, they need more than that. And he's right. They strike out a ton.
Well, their whole lineup is all guys like that.
Yeah, just trying to mash.
Just masher after masher.
Yep. But that's like baseball now in a lot of ways.
Guess. I mean, that's like the goon squad.
Yeah, it is extreme. Like the Yankees, that is extreme.
Like every guy is like 6'6", like Voigt, Judge, Stanton, yep. Like they're all humongous.
Yeah, LeMahieu is.
Yeah, he's like 6'4".
They're all big dudes, man. They are. And there's a lot of injuries that run through that. You know, big bodies that get banged up. And he is not the first one we've talked to, though, that has not trusted and does not trust the Red Sox rotation.
I told you a couple weeks ago, Hayes, like the analytics community is not on board, I don't think.
With the Red Sox rotation? I don't
think
anybody is.
Yeah, because
I
think they've won more.
Yeah, they do it.
The record is better than what it should be.
Yeah.
I know you love, like, I don't love that stuff either, but.
No, but that's valid. I mean, there are different statistics you can look at. There are different, parts of the game where you're like, how did they find a way to pull that off?
Yeah.
And listen, they've also been incredibly healthy. That said, on top of all that, Chris Sale is going to return here. So if Sale's back and he's anywhere close to where he was a couple of years ago.
Long time ago, though.
It's been a couple of years. He hasn't pitched in a couple of years. He's coming off Tommy John. This is going to be an adjustment for him. But there was a time before that where he was the most dominant arm in baseball.
Yeah.
Like he had a 2-3 year stretch there where he was, if not the most dominant arm, he was a top five starter in baseball. Absolutely undisputed.
Yeah.
So if you get him back, I don't know, is he still going to be on an innings limit? I would assume he probably would be, but you're getting him back halfway through the season, even beyond the halfway mark. So, yeah, you solidify your bullpen, and you ask to get five out of him until you get to the playoffs, and then maybe you can expand it and open it up a little bit more. That could go a long way for them. But ultimately, the wins are what they are, and the Red Sox have them. And they're back in action against the Jays tonight, and then the Jays come home tomorrow night.